This is the Netgroup Investments Insights Podcast, where one or more of our experts explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Mind of a Fund Manager. I'm Mansoor Naka, Senior Investment Analyst at Netgroup Investments. I'm once again joined by Andrew Headley, Portfolio Manager of the Netgroup Investments Global Equity Fund at Veritas Asset Management. Once again, welcome, Andy.
Thank you, Mansoor. Good to talk to you.
If you look at markets over the last year or so, it's all been pretty focused on one thing. If it's been linked to AI, people are interested. If it's not, it's sort of been left behind a bit. And it's interesting because, Andy, you and I have been chatting quite a bit about this recently, just this idea that while everyone's looking at what might change, there's maybe a bit less focus on what's actually still happening underneath the surface. So today we're going to carry on with that theme a bit, and we're chatting about what is perhaps one of the most unique infrastructure assets in the world, Canadian Pacific Kansas City. Andy, last we spoke about infrastructure through a European lens with Vinci. Today we're moving to North America, but staying with a similar theme. Why rail and why this company?
We really like these irreplaceable physical assets that are not regulated. And when I say that, some of the Class 1 railroads are regulated, but the regulation is what we would call very light touch. And so the assets themselves are basically physically irreplaceable. As probably the most famous U.S. railroader, who was a guy called Hunter Harrison, once said, he said, they're not making any more railroads. And that's absolutely true. And that's really the kernel of our thesis is that these Class 1 railroads cannot be replicated. And they are far more fuel and cost efficient in transporting goods over long distances than trucking, for example. And so we believe that they will be beneficiaries over time of general GDP growth and industrial production growth. And then if we look more specifically as to why we own Canadian Pacific Kansas City, we like the merger that Canadian Pacific did with Kansas City. And what that did was it created a Class 1 railroad that covers three countries. So it covers Canada, coast to coast. So it's east coast to west coast railroad in Canada. And then it goes sort of vertically north-south through the U.S., through the main terminal of Chicago, and all the way down into Mexico. And again, in Mexico, it's east to west coast. And so they have a wonderful three-country network. Now, post-merger, what that network has done is it allows them to expand their network in order to drive volume growth, which is obviously what we want, well above the industry average. So they have these opportunities that the rest of the Class 1 railroads, because they have a fixed infrastructure, don't have because of this merger. So that's the first thing that we like about Canadian Pacific. The second thing is management. We think that the management of Canadian Pacific is the best in the industry by some distance. The chief executive, Keith Creel, he is a protege of Hunter Harrison himself. Hunter came up with this thing called precision scheduled railroading, which made the railroads far more operationally efficient than they had been historically. And so Keith is kind of the current incarnation of precision scheduled railroading. And so he is operationally superb. So we like that. And the last thing we like about basically the industry, but Canadian Pacific, we think has a particular advantage again here, is pricing power. As I just mentioned, railroads are kind of 3 to 4 times more fuel efficient than trucking. And so they have a huge cost advantage against trucking, particularly over long hauls. And the average length of haul for Canadian Pacific is kind of 1,700 to 1,800 miles, which makes them much more efficient than trucking. And so as a consequence of that, they can price. And so they've got a fixed network, but they can price up. And their aim is to price around 1% above inflation every year. So if you think inflation is kind of 2 to 3, they should get 3 to 4% in pricing. We then add that onto the kind of 3 to 4% that they should get in volume growth. And that gets you to kind of 6 to 8% growth that they think they will deliver from that. And then on top of that, coming back to the merger, they think they'll get some revenue synergies adding up to another couple of percent. So we think the company should be able to grow its revenues in somewhere in the high single digit to low double digit range, which is why we're excited by owning this irreplaceable infrastructure play.
It's very interesting. So what I'm hearing is that there'll never be another sort of Canadian Pacific Kansas City ever. So is the moat here more about the physical assets or more about how the network actually operates?
Again, a great question, Mansour. So the actual moat, so what prevents the competition is, of course, the physical assets. And nobody can replicate this. You know, there are competing railroads. So clearly there are overlaps between railroads. But the thing that the merger did to create Canadian Pacific Kansas City is it created this three-country railroad that nobody else can have. So often what you find is that whilst they compete over certain sections of the railroad is other railroads would have to offload between one class one railroad and another class one railroad in order to complete the journey. Whereas Canadian Pacific can do it all themselves. They've got the full three-country network. And so we think that the moat, as it were, is definitely their physical assets. But I think on top of that, you have to lay their operational prowess. They are extremely efficient in what they do. And that allows them to make sure that they can be much cheaper, for example, than trucking. But it also allows them to create efficiencies for their customers, which is super important because they can often save their customers hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of working capital. And it's not often considered by investors, but if, for example, they have a route, they call it the Texas shortcut, and it basically allows, instead of going through the Panama Canal, so if you're coming through and you need to go through the Panama Canal, you can actually bring goods and commodities into the Pacific coast of Mexico and use their railroad to go to Texas or vice versa. And whilst that is both quicker than a ship going through the Panama Canal, which takes about 2 weeks, the other important factor is by saving that time, you save the number of ships that a shipping company like Maersk needs to have, right? Because if you offload and you save yourself 2 weeks on the water and you do that regularly, you might need 2, 3, 4 less ships. Now, if you need less ships, that's less working capital. That's hundreds of millions of dollars of capex saving. And so we think that there's a big efficiency part to this investment thesis that will play out over time. So we think it's a mixture of the two, but just to be clear, the moat itself is the physical asset.
Very interesting. I want to come back to that efficiency aspect that you mentioned. We know transport costs have recently sharply increased on the back of higher oil prices. How are Canadian Pacific responding to this? I mean, surely it must be a fantastic opportunity for them to capitalize on.
Yeah, so one of the things that we track is, of course, trucking rates. Trucking rates have gone up significantly post this conflict in Iran. And that is, of course, great for the likes of Canadian Pacific and all the other Class 1 railroads because their fuel efficiency, as I touched on before, is so much greater than trucking. So it's something like 3 to 4 times more fuel efficient. And so rising fuel costs are always a positive for the railroads. And actually, they do charge a surcharge. So they have this, they have a pricing mechanism with all of their customers that is agreed in advance. But then if oil prices go up, they charge a surcharge in order to recoup the additional fuel cost. But clearly, what's better for them or very positive for them is that the volumes that they can get moving, migrating customers from trucks to railroads over time. And what we like to hear, and when we talk to Keith Creel, the chief executive, who interestingly I'm meeting tomorrow, is we like to hear that they convert customers during these crises, but then by showing them what an efficient way they have of operating at a lower cost for these customers, that even when fuel prices revert to a more normalized level, what we want to hear is that they retain those customers. And so it's actually the increase in oil price is really just a temporary phenomenon, okay? But it can give them a permanent advantage if they can prove to those customers who switch that actually they should stay with the railroad because it's cheaper and can be more efficient than using trucking. And so that's what we like to hear from Keith, and we'll be talking to him tomorrow about that.
So what's the big takeaway for investors listening, Andy?
So I think the big takeaway here is this is a really strong long-term investment. It owns physically irreplaceable assets. It's hugely operationally efficient. It has a really strong management team. And over the last few years, what we've seen has been industrial production in the US has actually been very lackluster. And that's led to lower volume growth than we would anticipate. What we think going forwards is that the volume growth will actually be back to where we thought it would be, kind of 3 to 4% a year. As we're seeing industrial production coming back to the US, we're seeing expansion in industrial production for the first time in 3 or 4 years. So we think that the company is going to deliver on its promises it made at the time of the merger. of delivering very robust double-digit earnings and free cash flow growth over our investment horizon. And of course, in this environment, if we can deliver, you know, mid-teens earnings and free cash flow growth, we think that over time, we will also deliver mid-teens share price appreciation. And in a world where we see today that the investment world is bifurcated, you fall into one of three buckets as an investment. You're either an AI winner, an AI loser, or just not impacted by AI. And this clearly falls into the latter of those. This isn't a company not impacted by AI. And we think in a way that's a great position to be in because AI is very difficult for anyone to understand the medium and longer term of, whereas we are 100% confident that Canadian Pacific will be a bigger, better, stronger company with higher earnings and cash flows in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years' time than it is today. And I think it's very hard to say that about even some of the AI companies where people really don't know what the future is. So we think it's a really strong long-term investment, as I said.
Thanks, Andy. We'll leave it there. It's interesting because on the surface, something like a rail network doesn't feel particularly exciting. But once you start digging into it, you just realize how central these kinds of assets are to how the real economy actually functions. And can, of course, as you mentioned, quietly compound across cycles for investors. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay informed and stay invested.
This podcast is for marketing purposes only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.